You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Thank you. Please be seated.
All right. I believe we're ready to get started with more evidence. So if we could have the jurors brought in, please.
All right, please.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're back on the record on KCR 22-21-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. We're continuing with evidence in the state's case in chief. The court would note that this morning we did have a juror that, due to illness, was unable to continue in the trial. So the juror that's been seated in seat three has been excused from jury service. The court did contact that juror and speak to the juror this morning and advised him of a post trial or verdict type jury instruction to give him some guidance on what he can or should not do or say after being released as a juror. I did discuss the issue with counsel in a sidebar on the record, but outside the presence of the other jurors as well as the public. So we do have additional alternate jurors as we continue forward. So at this time, the state's continuing with its case in chief. And if the state has another witness to call, we can do that at this time.
The state would call Kay Woodcock.
All right.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yeah. All right, Mr. Wood, you can inquire.
Thank you. And before I do, Your Honor, may I be handed State's Exhibits 4 and 6? Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name and spell it for the record?
Kay Woodcock. K-A-Y-W-O-O-D-C-O-C-K.
Thank you. And Ms. Woodcock, where do you reside?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
How long have you lived there?
More or less all my life.
Your Honor, may I publish State's Exhibit 4? It's already been admitted.
Yes.
Ms. Woodcock, do you recognize the boy in that picture?
I do.
That's who is he?
My grandson, J.J. Fallow.
Can you tell the jury how you're specifically related to him?
My son and his girlfriend had a baby, and when he was born on May 25th, 2012, they called him Kanan Todd Trahan. And they were unable to care for him. And so he came to live with me and Larry, my husband.
Okay. So he is your biological grandson.
Yes.
And you stated that your son and his girlfriend were unable to care for him. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Did JJ spend a significant amount of time? I'm just going to refer to him as JJ, if that's
all
right.
Yeah.
Did he spend any significant amount of time at the hospital when he was born?
He was in the hospital, I think it was 6 to 7 weeks. He was born at 10 weeks premature. So he was like 2.5 pounds. And he was born with drugs in his system. So he had a bit of growing and getting healthy.
And after he left the hospital, where did he first go to live?
He came to live with me and my husband, Larry.
All right. And how long did he live with you?
I think it was 9 months, 8 or 9 months.
All right. Are you related to, or let me rephrase that, do you know who Charles Vallow is?
Charles was my older brother.
Right. And at the time of JJ's birth, who was Charles married to?
He was married to Lori Vallow.
At any time, did JJ go to live with Charles and Lori?
In February of 2013, Charles and Lori were granted custody. We decided over a while and with a lot of thought that Kanan, JJ would be better living with Charles and Lori, being raised by them. And they approached us early on and wanted to know if that we would consider them to adopt JJ. And it took a while, but we finally agreed to it, and that we would maintain the role as a grandparent in his life. That was very critical to us.
Okay. And so when Charles and Lori adopted JJ, was that when his name was changed?
Yes.
And just for the record, what was the actual name his name was changed to?
Joshua Jackson Vallow.
After JJ was adopted by Charles and Lori, did you maintain a relationship with JJ?
Oh, yes, we did.
What was that like?
It was, when they lived in Phoenix, Larry and I would go every 2 to 3 months. 3 months was really kind of long, but when they first took him, it was a month before we went because we couldn't wait anymore. We're having a real hard time dealing with letting him go.
But did you see him frequently?
Yes, we would. Every 2 to 3 months, we would see him.
When at any time did Charles and Lori move to Hawaii?
Yes, they did in the end of July of 2014.
Were you able to keep contact with JJ while Charles and Lori lived in Hawaii?
Oh, yes. The difference between Phoenix and Hawaii was then when I would go to Hawaii or Larry would come with me, we would stay for longer, 7-10 days, sometimes a little longer, to be able to spend time with them.
And what was your relationship like with Charles and Lori?
Charles and I were very close. He was, the proud dad. He would send pictures and videos of JJ all the time. And we were very close. We were close even before JJ, but anyway, I guess we got closer. But Lori seemed to be a wonderful person.
I was not to interrupt you. I apologize, yeah. But I was going to ask, when you visited with JJ and his family, did you have occasion to observe him with his parents, Charles and Lori?
Yes. Oh, yes. They were very doting, loving. They really got into, they read a lot about his autism and how to handle him with meltdowns and all the little things that they need that are not typical of a child with no disabilities.
And I've asked if you visited with JJ, but when you did that, were you visiting with Charles and Lori and their whole family?
Yes, we would. But it was as a grandparent, if you have your grandchild and mom and dad are there, you don't get the child's full attention. So we would, Charles and Lori would often leave and go away for a day or two just so Larry and I could have him to ourselves. And same thing, I guess, with Tylee and Colby, because they would also be, they would just kind of scatter when we came to visit. So I don't know where Colby and Tylee were, but I know that Charles and Lori would take some time and go and give us some quality time with JJ.
Were there times, though, that you did you spend time with their family as a whole as well?
Yes, I did.
Do you recognize this individual?
I do.
And who is that?
Tylee Ryan.
From your knowledge, who was Tylee's mother?
Lori Vallow.
And you mentioned Colby. Have you met Colby Ryan?
Yes.
And did you meet him when Charles was married to Lori?
Yes.
Did you ever have occasion to meet Alex Cox?
Yes.
Did you spend much time with him?
Not really. I mean, in passing a handful of times, I guess, but never really sat down and had a conversation with him of any substance.
When approximately did Charles and Lori move back to Arizona from Hawaii?
That was at the very end of December of 2016. And they just, I don't know, they moved back.
Okay. And did you continue visiting with their family and JJ after they moved back?
Yes. At least then I could go more frequently.
All right. I want to call your attention to the year 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see JJ in the beginning of, in January of 2019?
I believe it was like February 1st. Lori and Charles had separated at the very end of January. And I flew out to Arizona when Charles told me that Lori left and to help him with JJ because he was very distraught.
Were you aware of where Lori had gone?
No. Nobody knew where she was, or nobody that would tell Charles where she was.
And during the period when, in early 2019, when Lori was gone, did you have any occasion to watch JJ or take him?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately when that was?
There were many occasions in that, like in February and March, I would sometimes bring JJ home with me to Louisiana, or if Charles was working, I would stay with him in Houston or Chandler where they were living. I was there to help him take care of him.
At any time in 2019, are you aware if Charles Vallow moved from the Phoenix area?
Yes. Towards the end of March, I helped him pack up his house in Chandler or Gilbert, I don't remember. And we moved him to Houston so he would be closer to us.
Okay, so you said closer to us. You live, at the time, did you live in Lake Charles?
Yes.
And how far is Lake Charles from Houston?
It's 150 miles. It's a two and a half hour drive, straight down I-10.
And during the time that Charles was staying in Houston, did you help with JJ?
Yes, when Charles would work, he would be gone a few days, normally mostly like 3 days, and I would go and take care of JJ, and we would have a good time. That was some very good times.
At any time in 2019, did Lori Vallow come to Houston that you're aware of?
Yes, it was around mid-April of 2019.
And you had talked about Charles and Lori separating. Are you aware if there were any attempts at reconciliation?
I know Charles really wanted a reconciliation. And everything I heard from Lori about Lori, she was not at all interested in it. I believe at that time she came back to, it was her motivation was to get some.
Judge, I'm going to object. Calls for speculation.
Sustain.
Let's talk about Charles for a minute. What did Charles do for a living?
He was a financial planner. He mostly sold annuities.
Were you involved at all in Charles's business?
Yes. Larry and I owned a business, and I guess because of that background, Charles was comfortable in asking me to help him with his business. And I would do accounts payable, receivable, payroll, do Excel spreadsheets, things like that.
In helping Charles, did he ever give you access to any of his online accounts, like emails?
Yes, I had access to that, yes.
So you stated that in around mid-April, Lori came back to Houston. Did you continue to see JJ at that time?
After she came back, yes. There was a couple of weeks where we didn't see him, but that was in April. And then in May, Charles, Lori started leaving Houston again, and she would start traveling again. And Charles would come on the weekends and bring JJ, and so we could visit with them.
You said that, you said that Lori started leaving. Are you aware if she made living arrangements back in the Phoenix area?
In June, yes, she did. Charles rented her a house in Chandler.
At that time, do you know if Charles expected to reconcile, or do you know if he expected to divorce?
No, he was headed for divorce because he was actually the day he was murdered on July 11th, he had made arrangements to meet with a friend who was going to show him a house to lease not far from Lori's.
Right. And you just mentioned he died on July 11th, 2019.
Yes.
And are you aware of how he died?
Two gunshot wounds to the chest.
Are you aware if Charles Vallow had a life insurance policy?
Yes.
Did you ever have occasion to speak with him about that policy?
We did in February of 19. He said that...
Judge, I'm going to object. It's hearsay.
Sustain.
All right. Did you ever have a conversation with Charles Vallow about you being the beneficiary on his life insurance policy?
Yes.
Did you make any commitments to him about what you would do with that money if you were to receive it?
Yes.
What commitments did you make to Charles Vallow?
He had $1 million life insurance policy. And because of Lori acting the way she was acting.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. Okay. It's non-responsive.
Interesting.
What commitment did you make to Charles? The commitment
I made was to give each of Charles's two adult sons each $250,000. Out of the million, which I did do in January of 2020. And then Charles said the other 50% was for me and Larry, because we were going to end up raising JJ if anything happened to him. That was the conversation, a very short conversation. I never knew if he followed through and changed it.
So that was the only conversation you had with him?
Yes.
And it was it your impression that Charles believed if something happened to him, he would end up with JJ?
Yes.
Do you know, you stated that was the only time you spoke with him. Are you aware if you were in fact listed as the beneficiary on that life insurance policy?
No, we never spoke about it again. I never asked about it. And I didn't know until the insurance company called after his murder.
Okay, so were you contacted by the insurance company?
Yes.
And were you then informed that you were indeed the life insurance beneficiary?
Yes.
All right. And did you receive that money?
Yes, months later.
Did Lori Vallow ever contact you about that life insurance policy?
All she ever did was send me a text one day. It was towards the end of July of 19. That she found the change of beneficiary form to me. And she, I can't recall exactly the comment, but it was something to the effect of, is this why you want JJ? Something like, I've got five kids and no money and you get everything. So yeah, that was all. Okay. That was it.
I want to switch back to talking about JJ. Do you recall the last time you saw JJ Vallow in person?
Yes.
When was that?
It was the weekend of May 17th in 2019. Yeah.
Where did you see him?
He and Charles came to Lake Charles for the weekend, and his birthday was May 25th. We had a birthday party for him a little a week early. We had it at a pizza place and had friends and cousins all come and gave him his happy 7th birthday, the last birthday we'd ever have with him.
After the last time you saw him in person, did you ever have any type of telephone or digital contact with JJ?
Yes.
Do you recall when that was?
The last time we saw him was on a FaceTime, August 10th of 2019. After Charles's murder, we had a very hard time trying to contact with him. Lori was very evasive and oftentimes wouldn't respond to requests.
Okay. So you said the last contact you had with him was August 10th. Do you recall if in between the last time you saw JJ, which I believe you said was May 17th and August 10th, did you have any other digital contact with JJ that you recall?
Yes, we had from the time Charles was murdered to that August 10th date. That was a 1 month time frame, and only two times we were able to see him on FaceTime. She was limiting everything. Any contact with us, she was limiting it.
Okay. And then, as you said, the last time you talked to him was August 10th.
Yes.
All right. After August 10th, did you attempt to have contact with JJ?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Lori, I would email her, text her, leave voicemails, call her. She would never respond. Not one time did she respond.
Did you attempt to arrange with Lori for JJ to attend Charles Vallow's funeral services?
Yes. His services were like August the 4th of 19. And I had arranged with Lori that I would fly to Phoenix and pick up JJ and bring him back to Louisiana, and he was going to stay with us for the week, and then I would take him back to Phoenix, and then I would return home. And we bought the tickets. I mean, we were all set and ready to go. And then I guess after she found out about the insurance, it was a day or two later, she said that they were too busy, that they were moving to Hawaii, and that it would be too much for JJ. So she backed out on the deal.
So he was not able to attend his father's funeral?
No.
At any time in 2019, did you become concerned about the whereabouts of JJ Vallow?
Absolutely. I mean, the minute we found out that of Charles's murder, that we were extremely worried that evening that we found out, excuse me, on the 12th, we didn't know about his death until the 12th and the only reason we knew is because Lori contacted Charles's two sons. She texted them to tell them their dad was dead, and then she wouldn't answer her phone. So Charles's oldest son, Cole, reached out to me and asked, "What is going on?" Lori said, "Dad's dead." And I said, no, that can't be right. This is a joke or something. Because he was healthy as a horse. And sure enough, my husband, for some reason, he Googled Charles's name and read that he was killed the day before.
And so, and then you've testified that you had very limited contact with JJ after Charles's death.
Yes.
So after Charles's death, was it partly because of that limited contact that you became concerned about JJ's whereabouts?
Absolutely. We were working with detectives in Chandler, so we had to keep a real low profile.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you, did you ever contact law enforcement about JJ's whereabouts?
Absolutely. I mean, that was once we knew Charles was dead, we knew he was in trouble because Lori didn't want JJ anymore. She didn't want Tylee anymore. She didn't want Charles anymore. She was done.
Do you recall which specific law enforcement you reached out to or that you first expressed concerns about JJ's whereabouts to?
To a detective at Chandler Police Department.
Right. And do you recall who that was?
Detective Nate Moffitt.
After your last FaceTime with JJ, which I believe you said was August 10th.
Yes.
Did you speak with law enforcement again about JJ's well-being?
I don't believe there was a time when I was in contact with them via phone, because we talked often, that I wasn't expressing my concern about where JJ is.
Did you take any steps beyond law enforcement to locate JJ?
Yes. After Brandon's attempted murder, Brandon and I started talking, and because he hired a private investigator to try and find out where his wife, Melanie, was, or I think that was the situation. And what we had going on with Charles and all that in our life, Brandon and I split the cost of the private investigator, because he, in investigating one case, he was kind of investigating the other.
All right. So based on what you just said, mm-hmm. and for clarity of the record, you were in contact with Brandon Boudreaux?
Yes.
All right. And you hired the same private investigator?
Yes.
Were you ever, did you ever become aware of where Lori Vallow was in the fall of 2019?
Yeah, she was in Rexburg, Idaho.
Judge, I'm going to object. Some foundation.
Yeah, it's overruled. Untimely.
I want to speak to you about November of 2019. At any time in November of 2019, was JJ Vallow ever with you?
No.
We spoke earlier about Charles's online accounts. Did you have access to his business bank accounts?
Yes.
Did you have access to his emails?
Yes.
And did you have access to his passwords to look into those accounts?
Yes.
Was there ever a time in November of 2019 that you looked at Charles Vallow's Gmail account?
Yes. It was.
When was that?
November the 8th.
Okay. And tell us about that. Why did you look at that account?
I was trying to hook up his printer to my computer, and I was having trouble with it the night before, so I left it alone. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning with a compulsion to go finish hooking up that computer to my computer to his printer. And anyway, long story short, I noticed his Gmail account was open on the screen, and it was a login page. And I had never really logged into his email before. And so I did the first, I knew he had three favorite passwords. So the first password I used worked. And one of the emails that came up was from Amazon.
Yeah, well, let me stop you real quick. So
okay.
Just for clarity of the record, this was on November 8th of 2019.
Yes.
Did you see anything of interest to you in that Gmail account?
Yes, there was an email from Amazon about a delivery.
All right. And did you look at that email?
Yes, I did. And I looked at the delivery address, and I've got, it was a apartment on Pioneer Road in Rexburg, Idaho, with the apartment number.
Do you recall the apartment number?
175.
Okay. This email you looked at, you said it was from Amazon. Were you able to ascertain by looking at that email whose Amazon account was being used?
It was Charles's Amazon account.
And when you opened that email, were you able to look at Charles's Amazon account?
Yes. When I found that, I was in contact with, well, number one, with Brandon, and then with our private investigator, and he walked me through I could get into the Amazon browsing history. Well, first I could see what was purchased, and then I dug a little deeper into the Amazon browsing history.
All right. And was there anything of interest to you on that that you saw with your own eyes on that Amazon browsing history?
Yes, it was.
What did you see?
Jaw-dropping. I saw a search for malachite wedding rings. There was one purchased actually for $35 or $36.99. I saw searches for women's beach wedding dresses. I saw that she looked at or maybe purchased too, I don't remember, a yellow bikini, not a bikini, a yellow one-piece bathing suit. And another search was men's beach clothes, men's for like linen beach clothes, and a size large is what she was looking at. And it was a white shirt and white pants that like you would wear on a beach, you know, linen type clothes.
Okay.
And that
Do you recall what date that search was performed?
That search was performed, I was just about to say that, October the 2nd of 2019. I read that November the 8th, but the search was actually done on October 2nd, 2019. And that was short, that was before Tammy's murder, death.
Right. Why did those items catch your attention?
Because of, I know that Tammy passed away October the 19th. And if, and Lori was obviously involved with Chad Daybell. And it was just mind blowing that they were looking at wedding rings before
Judge, I'm gonna
Tammy's
object.
Death.
Judge, I'm going to object. Calls for speculation.
Sustain.
Yeah. I'll move on. At any time, did you become aware in, let me rephrase that, in 2019, at any time, did you become aware that the Rexburg Police Department was looking for J.J. Vallow?
Yes.
Do you remember who told you that?
I was probably our detective from Arizona, probably Nate Moffitt, I believe. I'm not exactly okay. Sure.
That's okay, but you did become aware they were searching.
Yes, finally.
Okay. Did you ever go to Rexburg after that?
I did. My husband and I went up on the first week or so of January of 2020. We came to Rexburg. We went to Rexburg.
Okay. Did you put out a reward for information on JJ?
We did. We put out a reward looking for him because Lori or Chad would not answer questions regarding the JJ entirely missing.
Did you meet with the Rexburg police?
Yes, we did.
At any time in the year 2020, were you made aware that the bodies of JJ and Tylee Ryan were found?
Yes.
Right. And do you recall when that was?
June 9th, 2020.
Right. Your Honor, this time I don't have any further questions for this witness.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wood. Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you, Judge. Judge, before we start, I'm going to move for admission of Exhibit 32. Defense Exhibit 32, it's been a stipulated exhibit by the parties.
All right, let me...
If the state could just inquire as to what that exhibit is.
What is the exhibit, Mr. Pryor?
It's beneficiary information.
We have no objection to that.
Okay. On states, or I'm sorry, Defense Exhibit 32 is admitted.
And Judge, could I return to my desk to get my laptop? I failed to bring my laptop with the court's permission.
Yes, of course. Just a minute. So this is 32. She's noting also the clerk was there's a 32A through F separate, but we're just on 32, correct?
No, Judge, 32A through F as well as 32 was stipulated by the parties.
Okay, so you want 32A through F also admitted?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Does the state have any objection to the 32A through F in addition to 32?
No.
All right, 32 and 32A through F are all admitted.
And if I could have 32 back at some point, Mr. Bailiff. Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Woodcock.
Morning.
If you could go through with me the history that you went through with Mr. Wood regarding the living arrangements of Charles and Lori, I would appreciate it. And they got married when?
March of 2006. February of 2006. Sorry.
It's okay. And then they, at that time, they were living where?
In Chandler or in the Phoenix area. I'm not exactly sure which suburb.
And how long did they live there? Do you recall?
From 2006 until they moved in 2014.
And when in 2014 did they move and to where?
The end of July 2014 to Princeville, Hawaii, on the island of Kauai.
And how long did they live in Hawaii?
Until the end of 2016. Like, they moved during the Christmas holiday, okay. Obviously.
And then they moved back where?
To Chandler.
So first part of 2017 back to Chandler?
Yes.
And how long did they live there?
Until Charles's, well, I don't know, Charles moved to Houston at the end of March of 2019, and he was living in Houston. She was living in Arizona, in Chandler, or wherever. Okay. It's kind of confusing.
It's okay. Because
she was gone for over 2 months.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to get at. And then you figured out where I'm trying to clarify a little bit. They moved back to the Chandler area in around 2017. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they lived there until Charles chose to move back to Houston. Is that fair?
Yes.
And when did Charles move back to Houston?
The end of March of 2019.
So from 2017 to March of 2019, they lived in Chandler. And then in March of 2019, Charles moved to Houston. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned it earlier about Lori Vallow being gone for 2 months, and I think you mentioned the words Hawaii. Did you later learn that Lori Vallow in early 2019 spent 60 days in Hawaii?
I know that I've learned through court testimonies and stuff that she was, she made several trips to Hawaii during the about the 70 days she was not talking to JJ.
Right. And that's where I'm going next, is that in around February of 2019, Lori Vallow left JJ with Charles. Is that correct? First part of February of 2019?
Did she leave JJ with Charles? I don't know how that went down exactly.
Okay.
But he had JJ. He had physical custody.
Right. Regardless of how it ended up, JJ was with Charles around the 1st of February until well into almost the first part of April. Is that correct?
Yes.
And at that point, you touched on it a little bit, but do you have any specific information that Lori Vallow was living for 2 months in Hawaii?
No, I all I know is that she was back and forth to Hawaii. She wasn't living there.
And did you know the whereabouts of Tylee during this time?
I've learned later that she was, she made a couple of trips to Hawaii with her mom. But I don't know where Tylee was.
And you don't know who Tylee was staying with?
Not exactly, no.
Okay. And is it possible that Lori and Tylee, the entire time from the 1st of February till the better part of the first plus week of April, were both living in Hawaii together?
Objection calls for speculation.
Sustain.
And would it be safe to say, based on your experience and understanding and close connection with your brother, that Lori Vallow, from the 1st of February well into April, had little or no contact with JJ during that time?
No contact.
Okay. And then in April, when I think it was, you said April, she started showing up again around April in Houston?
Mid-April.
Okay, mid-April. And then during that time, continued to have very little contact with JJ as well, correct?
I don't know how much contact she had with him after that point.
JJ continued to stay with Charles during that point for at least a little while?
Yes.
Okay. Are you aware that in on or around the 16th of April of 2019, Charles changed his beneficiary back to Lori Vallow?
I knew that, yes. I mean, no, I didn't know at the time, but I've learned later.
So you know now, I don't need to show you the documents. You're aware that on the 16th of April, Charles Vallow placed back the Lori Vallow as the beneficiary of his life insurance, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, I know he had changed it, and right. I assume it was to her.
And then would you tell me when he changed it back to you, to your knowledge?
I don't know. There was issue with the insurance company regarding that. Okay. And that's all I know.
So issue was the insurance company. But in essence, one way or the other, you were able to receive a beneficiary check as a result of Charles being murdered by Lori and Alex, right?
Now, I don't know if they were the only two involved in this murder, but yes.
But you did get a beneficiary check?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you talked a little bit about this Amazon search, and you talked about wedding rings, wedding dresses, bathing suits, and large beach clothes for men, right?
Yes.
Some water?
I got it.
Okay. Those specific searches took place when?
November 8th of 19.
Is that the date you looked it up, or is that the date those searches actually took place?
That's the date I looked it up.
Okay, so you don't know when those searches took place, right?
If you go into the browsing history in Amazon, you can tell exactly when they were, when it happened,
okay,
when the search happened.
So do you have any recollection of when she started looking for those searches of those items?
She may have done it before October 2nd, but I don't know. But I only know that I saw that browsing history that day.
So
on November 8th, I saw she was searching for items October the 2nd, a wedding dress and rings.
And it's interesting. I'm sorry. And it's interesting to note that you made the point of emphasizing that the search was done by Lori Vallow, correct?
Yes.
And Chad Daybell didn't have any access to Lori Vallow's account, right?
I have no idea.
Right. And you don't have an idea whether or not Chad Daybell even had knowledge that Lori Vallow was planning to purchase these items, do you?
Say that again, please.
Well, you don't have any specific knowledge that suggests that Chad Daybell was involved in helping her purchase these items, do you?
Actually, I guess not, because it was on Charles's credit card.
Right.
She was buying new wedding stuff
on
his credit card.
And there are only two people that had access to Charles's credit information. That would be you, correct?
Yes.
And Lori Vallow, correct?
I don't know who Lori might have shared her financial information with. I have no idea.
Right. But you also don't know that, but you do know that she had access to his credit cards because she made these purchases, or at least looked at maybe making these purchases, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Judge, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Redirect.
I'm sorry. I got it right here.
So you were asked about Charles potentially changing a life insurance policy back to Lori.
Yes.
But after his death, it was determined that you were the beneficiary, correct?
Yes.
And just for clarity on the Amazon search that you witnessed, you saw that. What day did you see that?
The Amazon search?
Yes.
Amazon browsing history?
Yes.
I saw it October 2nd.
Well, okay, is that the date the search was performed?
No, yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Let me back up here. Yes, I saw it on November the 8th that on October the 2nd, the browsing history showed malachite wedding rings, beach wedding dress, men's linen clothes, or whatever, men's clothes.
All right, that's all I have, Your Honor.
All right. That will conclude the testimony then of Ms. Woodcock. Thank you for appearing and testifying this morning. You can go ahead and return down to the gallery there if you'd like.
And Your Honor, just because we're not on a break, may I be excused from the courtroom?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Is the state going to call the next witness at this time?
We are, Your Honor. The state would call Angela Yancey.
All right. Now that the witness is sworn, before we begin with examination, I'm going to inquire, because this trial has been live streamed as well as open to the public, Ms. Yancey, have you observed any of this trial since it started?
I have not.
All right. Have you talked to anyone about their testimony they've provided at trial?
I have not.
Okay. Thank you for confirming that. Mr. Wixom, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ma'am, will you please state and spell your first and last name for the record?
Angela, A-N-G-E-L-A, Yancey, Y-A-N-C-E-Y.
And where do you live?
Idaho Falls.
Are you currently working?
Yes.
Where do you work?
I work for APG Aftermarket Products Group.
How long have you worked there?
4 years.
Where did you work prior to that?
Sugar Salem School District.
And what did you do for the school district?
I was in the payroll and benefits.
How long did you work in that capacity?
7 years.
Do you recall, were you working that job back in 2019?
I was.
Were you working the job in 2017?
I was.
I want to ask you to draw your attention back to that time frame. Do you remember working with an employee by the name of Tammy Daybell?
I do.
And can you describe for the jury how much interaction, if any, you ever had with Tammy?
I didn't have a whole lot. I was in the district office, and she was the librarian at Central Elementary.
Was that typical then where you worked in the district office? Did you not have frequent contact with the district employees?
Correct.
When would they have contact with you? What kinds of things?
Once a year, I would do a benefit meeting to explain the benefits, any changes, anything that they wanted to enroll in. And then I was always available if they had questions throughout the year.
When you mention benefits, what type of benefits are you referring to?
Medical, dental, vision, life insurance, Aflac type policies.
Do you recall basically what type of life insurance benefits were offered to the school district back then?
Yes, every full-time employee had a group life insurance that the district provided. That was a $50,000 policy. And then they had the option to elect voluntary life insurance.
How did those...
Mr. Wixom, can you just slow down the pace a little bit?
Sure. Sorry. Thank you. Yeah. How and when often would they be allowed to elect the additional benefit?
During open enrollment once a year.
And do you happen to recall with Ms. Daybell, do you remember when she actually began employment with the school district?
I believe it was 2017.
And at that time, as a first-year employee, did she have the option to increase her insurance?
She had the option as a new hire to elect the insurance. And if the life insurance, if they elected the minimum amount of $10,000, that locked them in to increase that any time during open enrollment.
And do you recall by chance, what did she do to elect insurance when she first began the employment?
She completed an enrollment form and she elected the minimum $10,000. So she submitted the enrollment form and a beneficiary.
And to be clear, with that elected portion, is that a portion that she as an employee would pay for?
Correct.
And was there any portion of the insurance that the school district would pay for?
The group policy, the $50,000 policy on the employees, the district paid for that.
So is it fair to say by your recollection that the first year she began employment, she had the $50,000 of the group policy?
Correct.
And then she elected $10,000 that same time frame?
Correct.
So at that point, you recall that she had $60,000 worth of insurance?
Correct.
Okay. Do you recall in 2018, at the end of her first year, beginning of her second year of employment, did she elect to make any increases then?
She did not.
Would she have had the option to elect to increase at that point?
Yes, she would have.
Do you recall then later, at the end of 2018, beginning of the 2019 school year, did she make any elections to increase her insurance?
She did.
Your Honor, at this time, I would offer up to the court proposed state's exhibits 151, 152, 152A, and 153. I believe they are all stipulated for admission. If you'd like me to refer for the record what those are, I'm happy to do so.
All right. Let me inquire with the defense. Mr. Pryor, have you had an opportunity to review those four proposed exhibits?
Judge, the state previously provided me copies of those, but if the state for the record would recite what the nature is of those exhibits, just so that we have a clear record?
Go ahead, Mr. Wixom, if you would identify the exhibits, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will be happy to do so. Your Honor, with respect to State's proposed exhibit 152, I will start there. It is a beneficiary statement as to Tammy Daybell's life map insurance policy. 152A, Your Honor, is the claim check and some correspondence, approximately 4 pages on the payout of the claim on that life insurance policy. 151 is a life map voluntary benefit employee enrollment and change form. Excuse me, Your Honor, for 1 second, please. And then I hope that I've indicated that 153 is the employer and or administrator's statement signed by Angela Yancey.
All right. On those exhibits, I'll note we already, 152 has been previously admitted.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
So the other three, 151, 152A and 153 having been identified, does the defense have any objections to the admission of those three exhibits?
No, Judge. Those were stipulated to by the parties.
Okay, so exhibits 151, 152A, and 153 are admitted. And as I mentioned, 152 has previously been admitted. So you can continue, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would the court like me to offer up the proposed exhibits now before I publish, or so the court can review them or not?
No, that's fine. They're admitted.
Thank you, Judge. So, ma'am, can you explain to the jury, if an employee does elect to increase their life insurance, what is the process that they need to follow?
They will complete a change enrollment form, and they have the option to increase it up to 5 times their salary or $100,000, which is the guaranteed amount without a medical. It's called an evidence of insurability form to complete.
Okay. And with that, without voluntary increase, what is the process that they need to follow to request an increase to the coverage?
I'm sorry, repeat the question.
What does an employee need to do to actually make the election? How do they go about making the request?
They complete the enrollment form and submit it to me, and then I submit it to the insurance company.
Okay. And do you happen to recall back in September or October of 2019, did you receive any such request form?
I did.
Okay. And was that related to Tammy Daybell's policy?
It was.
Your Honor, at this time, I would request that I could publish by Elmo State's Exhibit 151.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.